personally like my music to be as clean as possible, so I'm not looking at someone else's ideas, just the composer's ideas. And then the more that I write in it, at some points I want to get rid of it too. Some things are good, help remind me of things that I'm trying to do, but at a certain point I kind of want to get rid of it too, because all that stuff that you see, it goes into your brain, and I kind of want it to be just filled with, you know, Brahms's ideas or Schumann's ideas or Webern's ideas in the end.
That's David Ying, the cellist in the Ying Quartet, speaking at the Barnes at Wolf Trap, and this is Center Stage from Wolf Trap. I'm Rich Kleinfeld.
And I'm Leanne Mislesky.
In this hour, we'll hear two works played by the Ying Quartet, the music of Robert Schumann and Johannes Brahms. And this piece by Robert Schumann was written in 1838 when Schumann told his future wife then, Clara Wieck, that he was thinking of writing some string quartets. And she said, "I'm very much delighted over your plan, only please compose more clearly. It hurts me too much when people fail to understand you." And, you know, he was a little bit incensed.
The other composer on this program, Johannes Brahms, also had a strong relationship with both Clara and Robert. And I can't help but think how that Facebook conversation might have played out. We'll never know, but it's kind of fun to think about.
Well, here is the Ying Quartet to open their concert with music by Robert Schumann, the string quartet in F major, opus 41, number 2.
So your Wolf Trap weather report, the temperature's rising and it's only raining right now, so we're good. Yay! A lot of wonderful questions. These are people who are used to this, so we have soon to come out in paperback, as they say, right? How do you make that distinction? Someone wants to know, selecting the lines, making one come out.
One of the greatest elements of being a pianist is that you're able to play multiple lines at the same time, and it's very satisfying because it feels not like you're playing like one instrument, but you're actually playing many instruments at the same time. And in terms of balancing the voices, it can always go in many, many different directions, and that's why we want to hear so many different pianists playing the same music, because every pianist makes different choices. It's always interesting to hear what seems to be important to one person might not be important to another person.
That was pianist Simona Dinnerstein speaking to the audience live at the Barnes at Wolf Trap.
And what fun we had.
We did.
This is Center Stage from Wolf Trap. I'm Rich Kleinfeld.
And I'm Leanne Mislesky.
We're going to have a great time listening to Simona Dinnerstein playing music by Bach, the French Suite No. 5, and Kindertsenen, the children's pieces by Robert Schumann. You've heard Simona Dinnerstein. You've heard about her. You listened to her recordings. What went into the process of inviting her to play?
You know, I've been a big fan of hers since 2007 when she released a CD of the Goldberg Variations. And that recording of hers not only put her on the map for many people, but became a go-to for me whenever I needed to slow down and sort things out. It's really become one of my favorite recordings, so I've been following her for years. It was a huge thrill for me to be able to bring her to the Barnes.
Listening to Bach is a very soothing way to ease your day.
It is. It's a little like, to use computer terminology, defragging one's brain. I find that Bach allows me to get organized and to feel calm in a way that no other composer really does.
Well, let's listen now. This is the French Suite No. 5 in G major. Simona Dinnerstein, the pianist, being welcomed by our audience here in the Barnes at Wolf Trap. This is Center Stage from Wolf Trap. I'm Rich Kleinfeld.
And I'm Leanne Mislesky.
This hour, in the Barnes at Wolf Trap, we'll hear Trio Cavatina play music by the Schumanns, Clara and Robert, music for piano trio, piano, violin, and cello. You have to pick programs.
You say have to, but it's more like I am allowed to, I get to. It's a little like Christmas, being able to look at the breadth of repertoire that these groups offer and be able to kind of cherry pick things that I think will be interesting for our audiences. This group was interesting to me for two reasons. First, they had been recent winners of the Naumburg Prize, which is a prestigious chamber music prize. They offered some really beautiful repertoire, but the program that I most wanted them to play was a concert of works by Robert Schumann and his wife Clara Schumann. They both wrote piano trios. They both wrote them in the same key, G minor, which I thought was really interesting. And being a little bit of a history buff when it comes to that couple, and also I have to say with their relationship with Brahms, there's always that intrigue that I find very fascinating. I really wanted our audiences to be able to dig in a little bit deeper, both to the familial story of the Schumanns and their musical story.
Clara Schumann, during her time, was a rare person, a rare talent, and had to work very hard to kind of balance her life between the art and music and raising a family for Robert.
It's true. She was a concert pianist. Her father, Robert Wieck, pushed her very hard into a performance career, playing all of those big, showy pieces with lots of finger work to help bring money in. She fell in love at an early age with Robert Schumann. She ended up having 8 children with him. And of course, his journey with mental illness is fairly well known. She wrote her own music. She performed extensively. She cared for her husband and her family. Any one of those things would be a full-time job, but she had 4. You want to talk about women's lib. She is a prime example of it.
Today we complain about a lot of things, but boy, she really hung in there and did all that.
No Facebook back then. I think that's probably a huge factor. Think of what we could do without it.
That's right. Well, here is Trio Cavatina with music by Clara Schumann, the piano trio in G minor, opus 17 from 1846, the only piano trio that she composed.
Tonight. This program might be one of my favorite recital programs ever. This first half is the very traditional recital music that I tend to do. In fact, the Brahms, the Ives, and the Rachmaninoff, I took pieces from each of these groups with me to this little competition about a year ago called Cardiff Singer of the World. And it served me well. Thank you. I'm a firm believer in performing music that you love. Because if you don't love it, how's the audience going to love it, right?
That was the voice of Jamie Barton, mezzo-soprano, talking about the music that she loves to a captive audience here at the Barns at Wolf Trap. This is Center Stage from Wolf Trap, and I'm Leanne Mislesky.
And I'm Rich Kleinfeld. Jamie Barton will be joined by Kim Penziger-Whitman in music by Charles Ives, Rachmaninoff, and a great piece, a tribute to Julia Child, Bon Appetit, by American composer Lee Hoiby.
We start with a set by Johannes Brahms, 4 songs, all of which deal with love. The first is Ständchen. Forgive my German pronunciation. I hope that you understand what that is. It's not my strongest language. Ständchen, which is a serenade from one lover to another. The next, Meine Liebe ist grün. My love is as green as the lilac bush. Talking about the smell of love, that intoxicating scent. The third, Unbewegte laue Luft, which talks about calm, sultry, heavy air, almost the seductivity of summer and humidity and heat. The final is Von ewiger Liebe, love transcending the ages. The last couplet, the translation is, iron and steel can melt, but our love must last forever.
I like your German.
Thank you. Dankeschön.
Now, as a singer, now that, you know, we're in the same room and I can ask you this, being a mezzo-soprano, to me, seems like the voice sits in a very resonant place. A mezzo is sort of like the sounds of vibrations in the chest. Is that true?
It is. When you look at the female voice, many different voice types have the same range. A coloratura soprano can hit a high note, but they also can hit fairly low. Same with mezzos. It's where that resonance is gathered that gives us which voice type they are. A coloratura sits higher and moves more. A lyric soprano sits a little bit lower than that and is a little bit more fluid, lyric in the way that it approaches the line. A mezzo-soprano's voice sits a little bit lower than that lyric soprano, and there are several flavors of mezzo-soprano. The flavor that Jamie Barton is kind of that big, dramatic, warm voice. She's a Wagnerian singer-to-be. She's still very young, but is starting to dip her toes into that very big repertoire to some wonderful acclaim. We are very lucky to have her at the Barnes in our very small theater. It's really a treasure to be able to hear a voice of this size and this color and this warmth in this very small space. It's like luxuriating in a bubble bath. It's just wonderful.
So this music by Brahms is perfect to start with, isn't it?
Indeed.